I have joining the podcast, second time guest, and now they're together. It's appropriate they're together because they've been married so long. But Les and Joyce Carlson, thank you for joining the podcast yet again.
Yeah, good to be here.
Joel, it's good to be with you always, dude. You're an awesome guy.
Well, I'll remember that Christmas time.
I don't give gifts to podcast guys.
Or send cards.
I'm just not good at that, but I can wish you a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you'll get a Facebook post.
I'll take myrrh or frankincense.
Okay, yeah, sure.
If anybody knows what that is. I first talked to Les, I had you on, and then Joyce, I had you on most recently, so people got to know you, and I enjoyed people getting to know you, and I know you guys were recently on the Area 312 vodcast with those guys, great guys there too. A lot has kind of happened since I've really talked to both of you, and I did want to kind of update where you guys have been. And, you know, unfortunately, Les, since I spoke to you, you know, Michael passed away, and then you had another friend within Ted Kirkpatrick pass away.
Yeah.
You know, two huge names and icons, really, if you want to put it that way, in the industry. And, you know, I didn't know if you wanted to say anything since I last spoke to you, either one of you guys, about both of those people who are very important to you.
Yeah. And also Kevin, our drummer, you know.
Yeah. I know we spoke about Kevin, you know, unfortunately had passed away.
Yeah.
You know, Michael was still on the recovering end of things when we spoke last. Yeah. And that unfortunate news that really shocked everyone, I think, when we found out that he passed away, because we, you know, everyone looking on the internet, it looks like, you know, he's going to be better.
Yeah, yeah.
And Ted Kirkpatrick, I mean, that was really shocking, too.
Out of nowhere, that came up. Yeah.
The thing I'd like to say about them is all of those men, I know firsthand, were truly in love with God and had a relationship with Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit. And they lived their lives that way. And they were, you know, they were just special people. They were so good at what they did, and just as musicians and creative people. But their sense of humor and their life and their music, the music will still live on. But to not have them here is a big empty. Big empty hole.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with Michael for me. Yeah. And, you know, Kevin and Ted, but I knew Michael the most, and we were the deepest friends. So
the longest and the most history together. And when the two of these guys got together, and then if you throw Paul Jackson in the mix too, but Michael and Les had a chemistry that was, it was really infectious, just attractive. And every interview they ever did together, everybody would just, it was laugh because they're, you know, they'd spur each other on. It's like Abbott and Costello.
Yeah, but I got to say that when we did it with Paul, when the three of us were doing it, it was really hilarious.
Then it's the Three Stooges.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That was absolutely off the charts. But oftentimes Paul was busy doing other things, so Michael and I would do it. But yeah, I mean, basically, that the three amigos there and that's missed, you know.
And the hardest thing really with Michael is that not just losing a friend, a close friend, but they were in the process, you know, of recording a record.
Yeah, it was supposed to be the new Blood Good album.
Right.
Knowing
that Michael was going to take a while to recover, Les kind of started doing his own thing. But with Michael's passing, it was kind of like the hope of future Blood Good stuff kind of died with that. And so did the Blood Good, name for future.
Right.
But we do have some, there are some things they're in the vault and they could be in the works. We're just letting everything settle a little bit. And
yeah, that makes sense.
The Blood Good family is, they've just been overwhelmed and traumatized, through this whole thing. And so we're just walking together a little bit as we go. But yeah, we understand that there'll be a time when we do get some of this, what we call legacy blood good stuff released, I would imagine. No dates, guys.
And yeah.
You know, yeah. But we certainly are praying about that and hoping that it will happen. So, yeah, that's that. And
yeah. Oh, and I was going to ask you about with Ted. Was the first time really working with Ted, was that live album you did when with Tourniquet for the Intense Records live yeah. sessions?
Yeah.
I don't remember if I asked you about that when you came on. Really, how did that even come together with... I know, obviously, Guy had left the band, and then, you know, do they just reach out to you, or, I mean,
well, how? Actually, we were on the same level, or same label on Frontline at the time, and they were going to do this live album, so I guess it was the record executives that got us together, and mm-hmm. I went over to their practice, well, they were in the studio somewhere, so I went over there and met them that day, and they had been working on The Messiah, and then which I knew, and then they asked yeah. me to do Phantom Limb, I think. I think that was one that I did, which I'd never really heard that or anything, but they yeah. wanted to do it. So I listened to it a few times through. They gave me the lyrics, and I was in the studio, and I did it, kind of took a bluesy rock approach to it, and it made the live cut there, I guess. And that was really the first time and the only time that I really worked with Ted. We had been on some shows,
right,
or Cornerstone or whatever. There were some other shows,
festivals,
where
yeah.
But and then I think it was like the 25th anniversary of that release. And then Ted was going to do a few dates, one in Amsterdam, and then a couple in one in Sweden, one in Norway. And so he called me up and said, would you like to come and do the shows? And we weren't doing anything at the time. So I said, yeah. And so I was learning all the Tourniquet stuff. And it was, it was a trip to do it.
Those lyrics had to be really interesting. The way to, and I know I've become friends with Luke. I haven't really even thought about asking him about, with all the medical terminology you would have to, mm-hmm. stuff you don't normally say with these words, you know, talking about skeezic and all this yeah. weird yeah. stuff. Yeah. Like, what in the world? That had to be a bit of a challenge, I'm sure, for you.
Yeah, it was. It really was. And Luke, really, he's such a great singer, performer, too. That was, but, you know, I had to add my own style to it. And
somewhere on YouTube, there's some live videos of right. singing with Tourniquet overseas.
Mm, yeah, not much, though. Not much stuff. But anyway, yeah, so I really enjoyed working with Aaron and with Ted. And at one point, we were with CJ Grimark and Andy Robbins playing bass.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was just a great lineup, and we had a blast doing it.
Was there a reason?
I had no idea. I mean, I had no idea that Ted was sick. I mean,
I was going to ask you that. Yeah, I mean,
super healthy. I mean, I was totally shocked. Yeah,
very shocking.
But Ted had chosen, I guess, just to be quiet about it. He didn't. I don't think he told anybody other than maybe his very, very immediate close family. Not even close friends.
Right.
So.
And I was going to ask you, you said you were on the same label at that time. How come, I mean, if you can remember, why did Bloodgood not do a live album? Because Deliverance had done one, Mortal, Tourniquet, you know, I want to feel, you guys didn't do a live album like that, did you?
No, we didn't. And I don't know why they didn't ask us. It could have been that we were, at the time that they did those, maybe we had already released something. I don't know.
But you did five album.
Well, yes.
Yeah. I wonder why they didn't ask you guys to do one of those in that series of.
Yeah, there was a series.
Yes, right.
And
right.
We weren't asked. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't really remember. They may have had some Bloodgood release. You know, record companies are sometimes, you know, they get spontaneous at times, just trying to say, hey, what are we going to do this month, you know?
Yeah,
it could have been that we were on the road and we weren't able to do a studio thing, and that's probably what it was. We were probably touring because we did tour a lot in the early days. So,
yeah, I just I didn't think about that till you just said that. But and Joyce, I don't want to leave you out too. I want to get to the new album here in just a second, but I also have to make mention of something I just saw online. I think Blood Good. Who runs the Blood Good Facebook page? Is that you guys?
No,
actually,
Marilyn and Paul, I guess,
her son. Okay, I just saw. You see that picture of it's titled Seattle School of Hard Rocks, 1988. Did you see that picture posted today?
Yeah, I've seen that.
That okay? You got to tell me the story behind that picture because I mean Jeff Tate's in there.
Yeah,
and I'm sure the Blood Good guys are in there, and I don't know if there's
Metal Church.
Yeah.
What's the story with that picture?
Howard Leese was in there. Yeah. I mean, well, okay, so there was quite a few musicians from Seattle that had record deals, and it was in the heyday of metal back, in the 80s when the hair bands were there and everything, and so they just accumulated all of the Seattle faction of metal and brought us all together. So we were honored to be there, being Christian guys, you know.
I'm not even sure the reason.
The reason was because there was a lot. Well, look at the picture.
Yeah.
Look at all the talent.
Was it a fundraiser, like We Are the World kind of thing or something?
I don't remember.
I don't remember what it was.
I don't remember what it was. And it's, most rockers could say it was you blame it on the drugs, but we didn't do drugs. And I still can't remember. So,
just time. Yes. You've done so much of the time, but. That was a cool picture, and I know a lot of people thought it was really cool that it was posted, especially to see, guys like Queensryche being involved in that, and, of course, them being from Seattle. But I do want to move on to your new solo album, and Joyce, first of all, I want to say your song is unbelievable. Of course, we know Les, we've heard you, and you are unbelievable. I'm not just saying there's not a bad song on the album. And if there was, I probably wouldn't say it, but I'm being serious. And the last song on the album, Joyce, you sing. And right there, I think a lot of people can hear that and think, well, Joyce has got to have an album coming out along that lines, because I would like to hear 10 or so songs of that too. Is that a possibility? And how did you get involved where you said, okay, I'm gonna track this one song, and how was the involvement?
You can
answer that
totally.
Before we got saved, we were nightclub singers, and we did a few albums together. And the approach was pretty much always with the recordings and the original music, duet. So one person would maybe be the lead, the other person would jump in with background. Sometimes we actually sang.
You're talking. Duet. She's talking one person, the other one would be me. One.
Yeah,
would be
her.
That's right. And anybody hasn't listened to the episode with you on here, please do, because you do explain a lot of that and tell a lot of those great stories too.
Cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, then we got saved. We got into Blood Good Les got into Blood Good, and it was just a whole different story. I ended up being in a supporting role. And then when Les started working on the solo project, we had this song that Craig Church and I had written back in 89, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to get a record deal also with Frontline, but that didn't happen. But anyway, this song has just been, on the shelf for all those years. And I think Les said, hey, what if we revive this song? We actually played it for Greg Hayes from Girder Music. A couple of years ago, and he said, I love this song, you got to do this song, but in the form it was in, it was just not, recorded poorly. He said, if you ever get a chance to redo this song, do it. So Les just remembered that and said, why don't we, I got 8 songs, why don't we do your song? And of course I got pretty excited about that. And got to do it live at the BMI Center too. It was the first time on stage in 30 years. So,
well, we thought about there was a possibility of doing a duet there, but I thought, actually, to be honest with you, I thought that Joyce should have gotten something back in the 80s. I mean, she was certainly worthy of her own record deal, and I always felt that she should have gotten that. And so when I had an opportunity to open a door for her and let her do it as a solo project where she's singing with herself, doing her harmonies and backgrounds and everything, you know, I was just thrilled to allow her to do that. Or, and I mean, not allow her as much, it's just I was honored to have her solo.
Yeah, I understand.
On my album. But also there's a motive there, and that motive is we have been together over 50 years. And we're, you know, we are followers of Jesus. We're married. We love each other. And we want to be able to be that power couple that points people to that, to the Lord. And so we're sort of introducing that because I think that in the future, we're obviously going to travel together. And I want her to be able to perform with me. So it's sort of an introduction. And what comes around the pike, I don't know totally yet. But I think we'll go with song to song sort of thing. And there is a possibility of her doing an album or maybe an EP
or something. Yeah, you know, the thing is that we really had to be sensitive to the Bloodgood fans because they're Les Carlson followers. They're Bloodgood fans. And just the challenge of putting out a solo project and how that compared to the sound of Bloodgood, that was one thing. But then to introduce a female vocalist, you know, doing harmonies and backgrounds and then a lead, we had to kind of be sensitive to it. But I think what we've talked about is that will kind of gradually wean me in a little bit more and maybe there'll be more of a skillet kind of sound, you know,
Well, don't say skillet kind of a sound. Say a
well, guy. I know.
Well, he knows what I mean.
Well, I know, but there's a lot of people beyond him listening.
yeah, but most people who are listening to who are Les Carlson fans know this. When you say the skillet sound, I don't mean the musical sound. I mean the approach of the male with the female interjecting.
Yeah, and combining both voices to the song. Yeah.
You know, Joel, I've always wanted to be a performer that has no restrictions on me. I want to do what my heart wants me to do. You know, when you're in a band and there's five guys or whatever, three guys, four guys, you have a consensus as to how the band moves forward. Doing a solo project leaves me right in the center of the driver's, you know, I'm behind the wheel on this one. I'm in the cockpit, you know, I'm flying the plane. And so I can make those calls. And it's not something that I was thinking was going to happen, but since it did happen the way it happened, then here I am. And so now my call is to have my wife sing with me occasionally and even do some duets and create some theatrical songs that just blow everybody away with her acting experience and mine together, just creating another level of entertainment that brings the word, you know, with it. And so we're excited about it.
Yeah. And, you know, along with the style of music, the genre and all that, Les has been writing songs since COVID hit, and he started diving into Logic, and both of us, you know, got involved in that. He's written all kinds of different genre songs. And there again, you know how the fans are. Some of them want you to stay the same. They don't want to hear a new style. It's just like the difference when Bloodgood did Rock in a Hard Place or when Bloodgood did All Stand Together. There was so much different from the early stuff. Some people loved it. Some people didn't. So moving forward, you have to consider that you want to pick up new followers and fans and spread your wings with the type of music. But you don't want to disorient anyone or, you know, ruffle feathers. It's kind of a tricky thing.
A little ruffling's okay. You know.
I think any band would agree that that's kind of it's a dance.
Yeah. Nobody wants to be put in a box, you know.
Well, I think it was done perfectly with you singing a song by yourself that you've had, and in getting to be a part of that album. and not just say, okay, well, here she's singing 9 of the 10 songs, people. That would probably be, what? Wait a minute. But yeah. And people, I think you have a Pat Benatar kind of sound to you. And that's a great thing. And not saying that's exactly how you sound, but it's a really good sound. And
cool.
If you were to ever put out a solo album of however many songs you wanted to do, I would definitely, if along the lines of what you did there, I would love to hear it. And I think a lot of other people would be interested in hearing that too.
We've talked about it. It'll probably, if we live long enough, it'll come up.
Certainly a possibility for sure.
You got another 50 years. You're good to go.
Keep those cards and letters coming in. Let's hear the requests for Joyce doing a solo album.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was great.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you guys can work together at this point in your relationship and that you can go on the road together. You get to be more involved, Joyce, instead of just running the lights or so whatever it might be on the side, whatever but since that album has come out, what has been the feedback from people and fans or whatever, critics, whatever you want to call them?
Well, all of the reviews that we've seen have been really extraordinarily good.
Yeah, it's overwhelming, actually, and humbling how well the whole thing has been received.
Yeah. And so, I really wanted to have it be a bit different than Blood Good because, obviously my voice sounds like Blood Good. I mean,
right.
The rhythm section was different and it was just different, because Blood Good albums were always a composite of two or three writers, Michael and I and Paul and Oz and David. And so we had this thing that was really Blood Good. This time was pretty much, songs that I had written. And so it was just, that faction. But that that was my part of mm-hmm. Blood Good, but now it's me, Les Carlson. So, I think it's different.
And so because you and Paul Jackson co-wrote many Blood Good songs, and you co-wrote a few on this record, there that kind of brought some similarity of the Blood Good sound.
Yeah. You didn't go way off the trail or something. You're not doing a polka album or something here.
So. No, that's next, though.
But can't
I'm
wait.
I'm constantly praying and racking my brain to try and get, that's even a lyric from I Want to Know You.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be restricted. And at the same time, I want to know who my audience is. And I want to really put out there on the tray, just a lot of variety that still draws in that metal crowd, that hard rock metal crowd. But I love new sounds. I don't care if I bring in keyboards or, I'm okay with experimenting. Obviously, listening to the Jesus Freak Show, that's kind of strange.
Yeah, that song is stuck in my head right now, too. And I appreciate that because I was listening to a little bit of it before we started recording here. And I'm serious. Every song on there is catchy. It's good. It's a really great album. And if someone said, hey, what's the top 5 albums from last year that came out? And I'm not just saying, Christian albums. I'm talking about all time.
Ooh, awesome.
That album is up there,
Nice. Thank you.
I'm not just saying that. And a lot of people also kind of came up with that on the list, too. That they came out with. So I know that's gotta be a huge compliment. And I want to ask you, who is actually on this album? Who's performing? I know Paul's on it. Who else is involved?
Let's go with the guitar players first. We've got Paul Jackson, Craig Church. We have David Safiro. We have Oz Fox and Les Carlson. I'm actually playing guitar.
Awesome.
I play some of the fills and some of the big rhythm parts and stuff.
Accents and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I know you've been writing the stuff, but I didn't realize that you performed the guitar part on a lot of the music.
Yeah, I actually did. And
that's awesome.
Because during the pandemic, I pretty much just said, hey, I think I'll just write songs and play my guitar. And it was really quite a thrill. I wasn't really thinking that was even going to happen, But David Safiro and Paul Jackson really said, Les, we want to leave your stuff as is, because I'm really not that, you know, I hadn't played for years and years and years. And apparently my style is not conventional. And so it inspired Paul to play with my parts and create that feel that we have in Jesus Freak Show and I Want to Know You and that sort of thing. And then Craig Church comes in with his 7-string Schecter and brings in the beef, you know, and he's got crazy rhythm. So it was just a real nice combination.
Yeah.
You know?
Oz was on.
Well, now Oz was totally Judas Is Dead. He did all of the instruments, including the bass.
Programmed the drums, everything. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's the only song that he's on.
Yeah. Now he did have some influence from Dan Needham, the drummer, that played on all the other tracks, because Dan had done some tracking on Judas, but Oz wanted to do all of his programming. But he did use some of Dan's ideas, and I know Oz wanted to say that, so I'm saying it for him.
Yeah. But, so Dan's the drummer.
Dan Needham is a studio cat from Nashville. Okay.
That's what I was going to ask you. Where would he be known from?
Yeah, if you look him up, you will be amazed at the resume of this guy.
And he did everything. He sent, you know, we sent him the files, the WAV files, and he would just send us everything back. And so then we got to just put it in and produce it and engineer it here. But yeah, he's just get everything set up, turnaround time, couple of days, we had tracks. So
great. Yeah, we didn't have to go in a studio, set up the drums and do all that thing. He is totally set up and ready to rock. And he also would bring in, like, everything we did was arranged when he got it. But there were things like at the end of River, when he goes into that shuffle at the end of River, oh my gosh. I mean, that was from him. There was a lot of things from him. He's so creative.
Mm-hmm.
And because we got those basics, we actually were inspired by Dan to do other things to create that. The ending of River, the vocal thing that I did, was inspired because of what Jackson did. And then when Dan played those drums, I was like...
And Ricky,
Ricky B. Rogers on bass. What a fantastic bass player he is. Now, Ricky's mostly a jazz bass guy.
Yeah. And funk.
And jazz and funk. You
know, yeah.
And Ricky always plays with his fingers. And I insisted, Ricky, you have to learn to play with a pick. And so he did. And pretty much allowed him to be as Ricky B. Rogers as he wanted to be, short of bow, 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 you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And because I really had to have a different rhythm section, obviously. You know, to try and create a different sort of a sound for my solo project.
Did David Safiro, did he produce that album?
No.
Or someone else did?
The solo album?
No, you're this album.
No.
We did.
Joyce and I produced the album, and Paul Jackson had an assist there in production. Yeah. And then the album was mixed by Wyatt Oates from Madison's Records in Atlanta. Okay. And by the way, the guitar player, Rich Ward from Fozzy, is the one that turned us on to Wyatt Oates.
Yeah.
And then after we had it mixed, and everything was mixed by Wyatt except for Judas Is Dead, which was mixed by Oz Fox and David Safiro. Then Joyce and I decided that we were going to go for the mastering of the album with Sterling Sound, and we hired Ted Jensen, who is an award-winning mastering engineer. I mean, he mastered Hotel California, Rolling Stones albums, Billy Joel albums. Yeah. I mean, Green Day. I mean, this guy is, and that's why the album at least sounds, the mastering aspect of it, the album sounds great on any array of speakers, sound systems,
any volume level,
and it's got a lot of punch. It's certainly not, we did not waste, most, and I gotta say this, most bands think that when it comes to mastering, I'll get $100, and do this for each song. And the mastering is when you hear it through streaming platforms, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, if you take it into Ted Jensen, it's going to sound good everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I mm-hmm. just wanted a Christian album that sounds as good as the rockers in the world get. And so that's why we stretched out and paid him the bucks and have a nice day.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds unbelievable. You guys did a great job.
I see pictures of, Rex Carroll and Michael Feehan are in the studio now, and they posted some pictures of just where they're working, the studio environment, and Sacred Warrior and
Chaotic just did it.
Yeah, Fear Not, and they post pictures of their studios.
Right. Yeah.
And if you were to see where this record was created, you would laugh.
You wouldn't believe it.
You would laugh. I mean, most of it was done digitally, through we transfer files coming in and we'd import them into the Logic. We'd, mix, engineer, send a submix somewhere else. And a lot of it was done digitally, but the actual control booth and voice.
You're in it right now room, with us. Yeah. And that's a green screen behind us. So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's a bed.
This is our bedroom. Right behind it is a king bed there, and it's made.
Yeah.
But
mine's not.
Yeah, well, you're gonna get into it tonight anyway. But
yeah,
I mean, it's actually we'll probably do a little humorous post along the way somewhere.
You should. I was gonna say you should just show the difference in a funny way, I guess you could say, a humorous way.
Yeah.
Well, before we wanted to make sure that everybody just really loved the sound and the project before because otherwise they'd go, oh, well, no wonder.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
Les is laying in the king-size bed singing a song.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, that could be good. Spinning around in my head.
Oh.
Yeah. So, it's not the gear, it's the ear.
Right. Yeah. And like you said, mastering, not being cheap with that stuff, it really comes in handy. Let me ask you, so far, what is your favorite? And I want to ask each of you your favorite track from the album so far. Les and Joyce, I'm sure you may have a different one, or if you have the same one.
Gosh. Well, Joyce, you can answer first.
It has changed. Scars for a while was my first, I think, favorite. I Want to Know You, but River.
Yeah,
we've just been working on a video for River, and that song has just gotten under my skin and into my spirit to where there's just like joy when I hear the song. Would you?
Well, I definitely think probably because of the chord changes that I came up with in River, they're so unusual. And David Safiro was the first one to point out to me that he said, how did you do that? How did you come up with those chords? And I said, David, I don't know. I mean, I just came up with these chords. And he goes, you know what you did there? I'm going, I don't know, David. I just put them in this order. He said, dude, there's like, I don't know, there's chord change or there's key changes, there's modulations. I mean, I don't know. He said, you've done so. He starts doing all this musical technical jargon with me. And I'm going, I don't know about any of that stuff. And he says, dude, that's genius. I'm going, well, I don't know about genius, but thank you, David. But I guess apparently, musically, the actual chords that I used in it bring out this emotion and these half tones and everything that really work with the lyric and the melody of the song. So I'm really proud of it in the sense that to have musicians like Paul Jackson and even Michael Bloodgood commented on that as well. And David, how wonderful a piece of music that was. So I feel very fortunate that God inspired me to do it.
Yeah. That song, the video that we're working on,
right.
Talk about it before you hit the record button. We went down to Fontana twice to meet with C.G. Reich to do this project too. So two separate days of recording. The first time we went down, as Les was going to pick up our granddaughter, River, because she's kind of stars in the show, in the film, he got rear-ended. So our car
is totaled.
Oh, my gosh.
So we took my mom down with us that time. And then the next time, a few days later, we went back again with just the two of us. And on our way back, my daughter called when we were in Bakersfield and told us that my mother had fallen. And because she was staying with her, it turns out she broke her hip.
Yeah.
And she is now in rehab. So it's there's like this all this adversity around. Right. The, and you know, as Christians, that it's kind of like the devil doesn't, you know, the devil's mad.
Spiritual warfare.
Cool. So, yeah.
Too bad for him.
Yeah. But anyway. Jesus.
But, you know, and, all, you know, anybody that knows that they're really delivering a solid gospel message, obviously the adversary will come against them. But let me tell you, there's no. I mean, he's not even in the game next to the Holy Spirit, next to God.
Right. No, I agree.
And we see those things come against us. I don't want it to be any big deal because it's no big deal. We're doing it. The video has been produced. It will be released. Everybody's safe. We're, you know.
Yeah, that's great.
I just want to shout out to my granddaughter, River. Wow, girl, for 4 years old, you're a movie star.
Oh, when you see this video.
She was amazing.
Yeah, the song is musically, River kind of takes you on a, you know, on a journey, and it has lulls and big ebbs and swells, and the video marries so well with the audio. It's just really can't wait to put it out there.
And also, I want to say this about River again: the guitar playing in River. So David played these sort of bendy, echoey,
almost like
rhythms.
Slide kind of thing.
And I played rhythm in there as well. then the first solo that comes into it is like Craig Church. Just, I said, Craig, I need this rushing River, this big, and he comes and nails it. Plus he lays in some really mood causing low end guitar stuff in the verses. And then the end, we asked Paul Jackson to create a symphonic approach to the guitar. So I don't know, he must have laid out
about six or eight tracks where he
different guitar things, and gave it all to Joyce. And then Joyce arranged those guitar parts into this where, you know, things would come in and go out and other parts would show up. And wow, she did a masterful job. So much so that Paul was like, I don't have to change anything. Thank you, Joyce, you know. And then, I mean, so and then the bass on it was so tight with the kick drums. And then what Dan Needham did as well was that shuffle in the end. And it's just turned out to be such a great effort by so many, all these talented people.
Yeah.
And then to have this video done by C.G. Reich, the drummer from
Iron Wrath.
He's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And gosh, he's just so talented as a director, film producer.
I plan on having him on the podcast sometime soon. Him and Sean probably are coming on. So.
Sean did all
the drone
stuff.
The drone work.
Oh, man. I'm looking forward to that. And that's really your first. I know you did a video for, was it Freak Show? You did a video for that. So that came out. So this is kind of like your second video, but more,
this is more
produced.
This is more produced.
The first one was kind of a live thing.
Just fun. Yeah.
We may do another Jesus Freak Show video though.
Yeah. And all those were just little iPhone videos that I did at the BMI Center when we were there, and they all got mixed in. Yeah. That's just a fun video. It's a little out of sync, but man, the brilliant work. Young guy,
Corey
Campbell from the Ark Church in Ohio.
He gave up. And the Ark Church in Ohio, the pastor Ron Campbell, and wow, his son Corey did an amazing job for us. And it was a love gift, you know, to us. C.G. Reich was just amazing in what he did for us, too. And so, yeah.
Will people be able to catch that on YouTube? Or is that where that, where YouTube or is the other platforms you are going to debut that on?
River will be on YouTube.
We're actually looking at CG suggested putting it into some film festivals. So we have to see, because some film festivals don't want you to have it on social media yet. But we want to do a debut, like a YouTube premiere, where a whole bunch of people, we can give them the time and the link, and they'll come and they'll we can all watch it together when it debuts. We did a Zoom practice with some friends to see if we could actually, you know, all watch each other watching it. And we just shared our screen, but it didn't work. It was out of sync. The video jumped. So,
yeah.
So we're figuring it out. We don't want to make a mistake on the debut of the film.
Yeah.
And I call it a film just because of CG and the way that he approached it.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. I can't wait.
What's your favorite song?
It's like you guys, it changes. I mean, Freak Show right now has been stuck in my head, like I said.
It takes some Tylenol for that.
Yeah, but it doesn't help. You know, right now, I mean, I'd have to go look at all the songs. I'm horrible with song names, but I could, as soon as I hear it, you know, it's stuck in my head. But everything on that album is so good. Now I want to go back. I can't, like, right off the bat, I can't think of what River sounds like. But as soon as I hear it, I'll be like, oh, yeah, that one. And now
we're not going to sing it for you. Nope. There's another song, though, that I
extra $5.
I really, really love How Long. And that's not right. Like, it's not like a hit tune or anything. But it's so, so painful and heartfelt, and it just touches a nerve for me, having lost Michael and everything that we'd been through this year. It's certainly true.
It's 6/8, 3/4 time, so it has a different feel. That's when Craig brought that song to us. And then, I Want to Know You and Faith is Tested, both of those songs have these huge anthem choruses. Those are brilliant.
Yeah, Brian Head Welch liked Faith is Tested best.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, that was his favorite. And I believe that Howard Long also...
Howard Jones.
I'm sorry, Jones from Killswitch Engage.
Yeah.
He's heard the album, and he liked Scars, and he liked... I think he liked River, and he liked... What was the other one? I think Faith is Tested.
Yeah.
And then Chris Jericho, like Faith is Tested, and Scars, and River. So
And I'm going to say I like Return Me to the Fire a lot, too. And I'm not just saying that. I really do.
Yay.
And Michael Fien liked
Faith is Tested. Yeah, I want to do something else. I'd love to do a solo project. It has to be the right time.
Right. Well, let's hurry up and do that then. With
at our age, we don't. Sure. I mean,
yeah, the right time. You might need to have to hurry up with the right time.
The whole thing for this is we're in a hurry.
And I would welcome with that style that you showed there in your voice. I mean, I think a lot of fans would accept it. I think Bloodgood fans would be more than accepting of a solo album, whatever it might be. But I wanted to ask you. When you guys do decide to, when Les Carlson comes to someone's town to perform, how are you deciding what to perform? You know, how are you deciding, okay, we'll play these Bloodgood songs, because obviously I think you would do those, but, and how much is going to be from the solo album?
Well, hopefully everything from the solo album, plus some classic Bloodgood songs.
Okay.
Stuff he's written mostly, primarily. Yeah. Crucify Messiah are like their givens, you know.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Rounded of the Rocks would be great to do too. I mean, just there's such
Top
a big
of the mountain.
There's such a big catalog with Bloodgood that, and I'm primarily going to just do the ones that I wrote. You know,
is there any song that you say, okay, I don't want to touch that song anymore, or I'm not. I don't want to go back to it for whatever reason. that you just, you're like, I'm gonna retire that song?
I wouldn't restrict myself from doing anything. I mean, I loved a lot of songs. I loved all the Blood Good songs, regardless of who wrote them. Michael wrote so many great Blood Good songs, mm-hmm. like Out of the Darkness, and we co-wrote, you know, Trenches and In the Trenches, and mm-hmm. I mean, a lot. Michael wrote, you know, Never Be the Same, and that was a pretty much standard
right
thing. And
that's a great song.
And I love what David did. I mean, Killing the Beast is like, wow, that's crazy, you know.
Yeah. And really, it's been a while since because Bloodgood was really active in the early days, in, you know, the late 80s and the early 90s, and then there was this long break. So then Bloodgood played occasionally. So I don't think that the band ever had a chance to get like burned out and sick of songs like these bands that tour for 5 years straight, you know. And then they just get off the road and go, I don't ever want to hear that song again. Mm-hmm. I don't think Bloodgood ever got to that point.
No, I love those things. But like on Dangerously Close, Oz and I wrote Child on Earth, and I think that song is awesome live. And
have you performed? Is there a song that you've never performed live that you would like to perform live?
Oh, I think that along the way we probably.
I don't think you ever did Child on Earth, did you?
Oh, yeah, we did it in Germany. Yeah, we did. With Oz, mm-hmm. actually. You know, Streetlight Dancer, I don't think we ever did that. I don't think we ever did Changing Me.
Did you ever do Heartbeat?
I don't think we ever did Heartbeat of the City. You know, there was just, I mean, some of the songs were just, they just seemed to be album-type songs, yeah. and they, you know, I always had wanted to, if we ever would have gotten into a massive tour situation with Bloodgood, I really like what Pearl Jam does, where he just calls up any song anytime he feels like doing it, and the band knows every one of them, you know, and that would be my take on it. But that's a very, you know, you gotta have everybody ready on that, and that's not
real. Yeah, I was gonna say that'd be difficult. With your situation, unfortunately, I guess, with everyone kind of being new, except for Paul probably coming in there. What is the plan for playing shows, and who do you have a lineup of who's going to be? Paul, I'm guessing, would be playing the shows, but do you have any plans right now?
Yeah. Well, Paul and I are just, you know, joined at the hip when it comes to stuff. And at the same time, weeks could go by where I don't even talk to him because he's so busy doing other things. But I think it's sort of like this. It's like I'm doing a solo project. So if I book anything as Les Carlson, I'm going to do that. If I can't get a hold of the guys that are on the album, there's other players that would love to play with me. And if they're available, then what do you play, Joel?
A little bit of tambourine. No, I play the drums.
Oh, okay. So I have a drummer up in Seattle that I've been using. I really love him. It's Jeffrey McCormick. But yeah, if somebody couldn't make it, then there are other guitar players that would do it. But the people I really love are the people that are on the album right now. I mean, I love working with them.
Yeah. And the gig at the BMI Center, the Immortal Fest, that lineup was great. Yeah. You know, and if they're all available, that would be the lineup for, you know, for the next show.
For any and everything we do.
Yeah.
Who are the performers with you playing that one?
Paul Jackson, Craig Church, Ricky B. Rogers on bass, and
Jeffrey McCormick
on drums, and Joyce sang. Right. Joyce sang, it was probably just the most emotional thing is when we did Messiah without Michael for the first time in rehearsal. We just broke down and lost it.
Yeah.
But also, Joyce's voice in there with Paul and I was really pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, we were in the studio, and when it came to Messiah, Paul Jackson said, Joyce, you sing my part. I'll sing what Michael used to sing. It just that hearing that and then singing it. And I mean, it was beautiful, but just the.
Yeah, we died on it.
Yeah.
Wow. It was sad.
Very emotional.
But
that's probably my favorite Blood Good song is Messiah. I love that song too.
Praise God.
All right. So do you guys have any shows coming up? Well, I know you got the BMI show coming up also.
September. You know, there's talk of things and we're working on some stuff. So
we have some challenges.
But I'm not, nobody's restricted me from talking. I'm a pretty open book. We're working on, and you guys can pray about it, but we're working on a show in the Northwest, and we would open possibly with Striper. So we've been invited to do that, and I think that would be phenomenal. And so I certainly would let that out so people could buzz it, you know?
Yeah.
Pray about it. And if it happens, great. And if it doesn't, well, then it doesn't. But
I'm going to pray that it happens in the Southeast more, though, if that's okay.
Sure.
For my benefit. Sure.
And you know what? I don't know. I want to be open to anything. I mean, I'll jump on a Fozzy tour if I get a shot. You know, I just want to get up on the stage. Some shows, I don't want to get beat up in a tour. I would do some specifically cool things.
Yeah.
And then Joyce and I would also like to speak at churches and share our testimony and our marriage with others. And
we could do tracks. You know, we could. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah, we can do that.
Just us. If we do little seminars.
Not our preference. But the way it is these days, we could tour with even maybe with just Paul Jackson on guitar. And, you know, I mean, we have the album and it's all broke down. You can use tracks or you can bring things in and out or whatever, you know. Yeah. So
there's nothing like a live band, though.
You're right.
That's the preference. But
if you're talking to church on a Sunday morning and you're giving a testimony and you do a song to a track, that's not an unusual thing. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a normal thing. So
you just brought up something and I did have this in my notes I came up with, but the marriage, you guys, like you said, you've been together how many years? You said 50, over 50, or
we got together in 72 and we got married in 74.
So close to that, but
yeah, actually
I think we're together in 71.
71 is when we started deciding that we liked each other, and 74 is when we got married.
I want to ask you, you know, especially from a Christian perspective, and marriage is really tough at times. It can be tough and very rewarding, but what would advice that maybe you guys have different advice that you would give to someone, whether it's Christian or not, but struggling in a marriage, you know, what would you tell someone?
Well, first of all, I would say it's commitment. When you say those vows, if you would take those to heart, now we are all humans and we all fail. We fail, you know, and people fail. They just fail in their commitments. But the bottom line in a marriage is a commitment, a lifelong commitment.
Yeah, you have to take divorce and
just take it off the table.
Not an option.
Yeah, regardless of what happens along the way. And believe me, things can happen and they can be heart-wrenching and, you know, all kinds of stuff. We hurt each other. I mean, you know, people that are married, they, whenever they're selfish, they hurt one another. And so try not to be selfish. Jesus wasn't. And he's the model. But, you know, totally, if you're going to get married, then that's it. It's like stick it together all the way through. I mean, don't give up.
Another thing is that, you know, the Bible says to honor your brother above yourself. Less serves me. And considers my needs, and because of that it makes me love him more, and it makes me really want to serve him and consider his needs which makes him love me even more. And it's just sort of a cycle, you know. And so that's another big thing. And then I think another thing is just talk. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, talk. Don't hide feelings. Don't let the enemy get a foothold by holding something back. You know, share your feelings, share your emotions, be open to hear the other person, even if it doesn't make sense to you at all.
What?
If they legitimately feel that way, then they feel that way. And yeah. So, you know, legitimize that feeling and then work together on a solution.
Yeah. And of course, we have disagreements and we have those times.
We do not.
Where we, yes, we do. But when we do, I've just found that over the years, I guess we've been much better at really nipping it, like recognizing it and just going, yeah, obviously this doesn't feel good for either of us. So let's just forgive each other and, you know, move on.
Yeah.
And don't let it linger and don't hold, you know, hold a grudge throughout the day and, you know, take off and drive away in your car and all that stuff. Just stand your ground and say, look, I'm sorry that, you know, I hurt you or you hurt me. And I just want to tell you, can we just deal with it right now before it gets any worse? And we've been able to do that because of Christ in the marriage. You know, it's always like, wow, maybe we could fight back and forth, but really right in front of Dad, right in front of our Heavenly Father, you know? So when he's part of that marriage, and a lot of people forget, they don't include him. But he's totally right there with us the whole time. So you've got to include him. So you get into an argument or a disagreement, bring him in, you know, bring him in and just deal with it.
Yeah.
And are you available for counseling for marriage?
You just got it. You're
that was free. That was on the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, I've been married for 11 years and, you know, there's a lot of tough times and a lot of, you know, you got two different personalities. You know, that's why I always talk about, you know, being in a band, you got like four personalities.
Yeah, yes.
It's like a marriage with more people. But, you know, this is different with the value make and the, you know, the love and everything. But it can be tough, you know, and you guys have been at it for quite a while, so I figured I'd ask you, you know, some advice to, you know, I need to take that advice. I'm sure there's a lot of other people listening. It's constant work.
And really, I would say that probably around year 25, we, you know, you kind of plateau right around year 25. I'm not exactly sure what happened, but there started to be a difference in our communication and it got better. And even within the last 5 years,
it gets better. Because we have stayed together throughout the entire thing, I think that God begins to bring in this fruit in that marriage. You know, just like it's just like fine wine, I guess. It just gets better with age. And it really does. But it's a process, you know, it is a process. Life is a process. And even becoming like Jesus is a process, you know, so the marriage is like one of the best examples. I mean, God is going to come back for his bride, which is his body, which is all of us believers. We are his bride. That's just, so marriage is important.
Yeah, and I think what you just said to tie that in is, you know, Jesus, the night before he died, his closing remarks was love one another. They're going to know us by our love for one another. So just like in a marriage relationship, there's the give and take, there's the humbling yourself, there's so much of that applies to the body of Christ, you know, to the Carlsons and Joel and to you know, Striper and White Cross, to everybody out there, it's the same principle as a marriage communication. You're committed to love each other and to work things out by putting the brother above you.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and I appreciate you guys discussing that. And and I want to keep you too much longer. I just want to ask you, and I do appreciate the time you've given me. What is in the future? Is there another, are you writing music? You know, anything coming up, any plans yet?
Yeah. So there are several songs that have already been written that we want to re-examine and look at. Plus, I think we're both just chomping at the bit to start doing some new stuff as well.
Yeah. And really, we've been, it's just, you know, a two-man team with some wonderful dream team people around us. But we've had to release and promote and do the whole record label thing ourselves. So we just released in December. And this is like a little more than a month later. We've done a couple of videos. We're working on getting more PR, more, you know, building the social media base more. So a lot of effort right now is just going into promoting the product, the project. But at the same time, that gets really boring.
What we really love doing is sitting in the studio, and we've got that microphone right here, and we've got that Logic thing, and we just start to create music together. It's just so much fun. I mean, Joyce was my actual producer on my vocals. You know, I mean, it was just cool because I'd go to sing something, and she'd say, "No, that's not enough of, that's not the Les Carlson I know. You know, you've got to give it a little bit more than that." And I go, "Oh, okay, well, you know." And so I, you know, so it was, she was just really, really good at producing me vocally. And, you know, I even did the same with her on Return Me to the Fire. But we really enjoy it. We trust each other. And, you know, it's just a fun process. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping to go up and visit Paul Jackson within the next 6 weeks or so, just to sit down with him for a couple of days and just maybe come up with a few new things for the next album. And
yeah. There's a couple of songs that I think would be great live that Les and Paul wrote together that they could work on. And yeah, because I mean, ultimately we would love to be able to do in a full concert, mostly Les Carlson material. Mm-hmm. With the expected Blood Good stuff thrown in.
Yeah. I think you guys can ride this out for quite a while and not feel pressure. Okay, we got to turn around another album. I mean, after, I think people are too OCD, ADD, or whatever you want to call it with these days, but your album is so good that I might as well ride it out for quite a while and enjoy the success of that.
I like to hear that.
But we may end up, if nothing else, we may end up with just a single released in 2023.
Okay.
December.
Whoa. I'd like to add to that. We might, you know, begin to release singles as we write them, because that's another way of doing it.
Yeah, there are bands.
When you write them, you release them, and then you write another one, and you finish another one, and you release it, and then another, and you release it. And then after you've got, you know, 8 or 10, then you say, now the album, these are all going to go on the album, and then you can buy the album, get them all together. So that's another way that we could do it. And that's kind of cool, because you can just feel that success or that thrill over and over and over with each single release.
There's
it's true.
December of this year is the 10-year anniversary of our son Jeff's passing. And Les has written 3 songs that are with Jeff's death as the subject matter. They're all, you know, 3 songs for Jeff. And we had considered possibly doing an EP release at the 10-year anniversary and see what, you know. So yeah. I don't know. I mean,
and there's
so many possibilities.
We also want to do a Christmas song.
Yes.
Another Christmas song.
Got to do a Christmas song.
Like original or one you...
Maybe a cover of a Christmas song and do it with our style. Maybe a duet that we do. But, you know, you just realize that every Christmas every Christmas you release music that's Christmas music. And since it comes a year apart, you know, it doesn't wear out for years. I mean, we're still, you know, everybody still listens to Bing Crosby. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. You know, hey, it's just legendary, right?
Well, you guys could do the Bowie Crosby little drummer boy. Yeah, do that little duet right there.
That's right.
Yeah, the thing is, we don't lack for ideas and inspiration. So sky's the limit as to what could happen in 2023. We're open to many possibilities.
Which guy?
Which guy?
This guy? This guy? Oh, this guy's the limit.
This guy's the limit.
Well, you always got to have
excuse
some
me
humor.
While I kiss this guy.
I want to ask, Les, you mentioned something before I let you go. I want to ask you, what is there any kind of possibility of playing shows with Chris Jericho since you guys are pretty tight? Has that been discussed?
I don't know. I mean, I'm certainly not going to. Let's put it this way. If our record gets enough attention and we shake it up enough on YouTube and that we become a viable opening act, then yeah, possibly. But I mean, I haven't discussed it with Chris, and I would never really ask him. I could publicly say that I'd love to, you know, to
open right.
for Fozzy. That's okay. And if he hears it, you know, great. Then he can file it under yes or no or maybe. But whatever. I mean, I'm just saying. You asked me if I wanted to do that. I would love to, because Fozzy is great. And all the guys in Fozzy are such wonderful human beings. I mean, they're just so much fun.
They're fun.
Yeah.
Well, just pass along Chris's number and I'll ask him for.
Okay.
I'll say, hey, he'll be like, who is this? Leave me alone.
We always close with, you know, with the Lord. We always end our interviews. I mean, if you don't know the Lord, you are missing out. I'm not just, it's not just something that is rehearsed by Christian. It's not Christianese. It's Jesus is the beginning and the end. And because he's the end, you should be hooked up with him. I mean, you just need to be. You make choices about all kinds of things. You make the choices about the kind of clothes you wear, the kind of food you eat, the kind of diet you're on, or how you work out, or whatever. You make choices about the properties you buy or the cars. You know, you make there's going to come a time where you will have had to have made a choice as to where your soul is going to go. And I would suggest strongly that you
choose Jesus.
Choose Jesus. Yeah. Okay. And love you.
Joyce, did you want to add anything? I mean, that's perfect right there, but I don't want to leave you hanging if you wanted to add anything.
I can add an amen to that.